248 on the Washed Up Walk-Ons. This is the Iowa State recap. If you are a Hawkeye fan, which I think most of you are, that's a good thing. The Hawks won 27-17, extend the streak to 6 years in a row. The Cy-Hawk Trophy comes back to Iowa City, and little brother stays little brother. It is what it is. We're going to talk about all of it. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, winners, to the Winner's Circle podcast, a.k.a. the Big Brother podcast, a.k.a. the Hawkeye State podcast, a.k.a. the You Can't Stop Us podcast, a.k.a. the Six in a Row podcast, a.k.a. the Stop Trying Because You Will Never Be Our Equal. Just live with the fact that you are lesser, you are more pathetic, more pussy. You'll never work as hard, you'll never be as tough, and you'll never be who you're trying to be, the Big Brother, the fucking Hawks. Oh, I'm pumped, baby. Six in a row. The Cy-Hawk series is no longer even a series. This is just a full-blown beatdown, and man, I'm so hyped. Kluv, what you got?
There you go. Everybody, welcome in to the podcast. I didn't know. As you can hear, Drake's sort of ruffling around. He's in bed. I mean, Drake's down bad, and he still comes and shows out for the squad, for the walk-on army. I didn't know if we were going to get that out of Drake. I know everybody wants that out of Drake, and I think everyone just was satisfied with that intro, but we're not going to have Kevin today. Kevin has decided.
Kevin shows his true lack of interest in this podcast by saying that he can't get on at 8 o'clock in the morning because he doesn't get back from Vegas until midnight, knowing damn well that the Wi-Fi in the rooms work and all he has to do is take a set of headphones to the shitter and he can get on his phone and record this podcast. So Kevin is just not very dedicated.
They're doing Vegas and getting back at midnight. He's midnight on a Sunday. Right into work on a Monday morning. That is Kevin Ward, if I've ever known him. And you're right. It wouldn't be tough to hop on for like 30 or 45 minutes you can do it. He's done it from the car. We've got turn signal Kevin. We might as well have Aria Kevin, right?
We've had turn signal Kevin. We might as well have turd signal Kevin.
Turd signal Kevin. Oh my goodness. Hawk fans, what's up? Welcome in. As you listen there, Drake basically laid it out for you. There's not a lot to say, but we are going to talk about a few things. The Hawks won for their sixth consecutive time in Ames. We won in 5th consecutive time in Ames. 13, 15, 17, 19, and 21. On the even years, we've been in Iowa City, and we've only lost one of those going back to 2014. So it is what it is. We stay the Big Brothers. We stay Hawks by a million. We stay undefeated this year. And
you think you work hard until hard work shows up on your field and punches you right in the mouth. And then you realize that you're just not quite as hard of a worker or quite as mentally tough as you would have liked to have think yourself as.
You think Iowa State fans are a little bit concerned right now about their Golden Goats?
Well, I mean, their Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, their preseason donned king, you know, because that's really what Iowa State is. That's what their whole program, university, and fan base has always been about, is the preseason accolades and donning their players the greatest before they actually step out on the field to perform. And I think that's kind of what we saw. We saw the kid underperform against a lackluster UNI team last week. And then we see the kid come out and lay an absolute egg against us in a game where, to be honest, our front four didn't supply enough pressure to make this guy as uncomfortable as he should have been. So Brock Purdy came out and laid a fat, juicy fucking turd right on his own home field in his senior year rivalry game. And they were ready to don this kid the Heisman. I mean, that's how out of touch Iowa State is and how starving they are for any grasp of relevancy, that they're trying to don a quarterback who can barely beat you and I and who can't even get the ball in the end zone against the Hawks. They're trying to don him the king.
You're good at this. You know that? Like, you know, you're good at this. I'm glad to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, man. I'm glad to be here.
You're better than me at that, and just like ranting and shitting on people. And it's what you do, right? You wear the funny hat. We were talking about Drake and I, fortunately for some of the few Patreon members that were able to join us yesterday. A lot of you were probably at the game or at tailgates, watch parties, whatever, across the country. Several of you joined us for a little game day watch party. And Drake was talking about how he wears the funny hat and a couple other hats. And then I wear tech guy hat. And I think we just
wear glue guy hat. You got to be the glue guy here because Kevin certainly ain't the glue guy. And I don't put forth enough effort to be the glue guy. So,
right. There's, and you know what, that we just know our roles, right? I remember one time I don't know who fucking came up with it. It had to be old Seth Wallace, which there's a funny story about Seth Wallace from yesterday, but it was like, know your role, own your role, play your role. Something like that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's one of Kevin's favorite things. And it's like, know your role, live your role, own your role.
Yeah.
Know your role, own your role, live your role.
First, you have to know what it is. Then you have to like take ownership of that and then put it into like execution. And that's what we're doing.
That's not what our long snapper did yesterday, even though he only has one job and he thinks that he deserves all the camera time when he's coming down the tunnel.
Let's talk about that. Austin Spiewak is our long snapper, sixth year. He's been there for two decades. And by all accounts, up until this point, good long snapper. You know, and specifically when we were there, because he is one of the few guys that was there in our senior year that's still on the team. He was much better at PATs, field goals. We come out, we punt yesterday. And the first snap was a little high. And you know, wife looked at me and she goes, oh, a little high there. Not a great first start. Got Torrey Taylor up on his toes. Speaking of goddamn MVP.
Speaking of, Torrey Taylor might be the best punter to ever come through the University of Iowa. Is that a stretch?
Well, yeah. I mean, Roby was really special.
And I understand that there's a guy named Reggie Roby, but Torrey Taylor damn near should have the inside the 20 punt named after him. That's just the Torrey Taylor punt from now on.
They just across the country and all of, you know, American football, they just start calling it the Taylor. Well, they're going to tailor this down into the 20 underneath. That lands on the 7-yard line. Torrey is, you see, I think people are enamored by it, right? Like, why haven't we found a guy like this? Like, no disrespect to Rastetter. And I know Drake's going to come in and say, no, absolute disrespect to Rastetter or Kornbrath or all these other guys we've had the past few years, even like Kaluzi or some of the other punters. Like, why are they not able to do this? And Torrey Taylor is. And
maybe it's because he's 30.
Well, I think what you're seeing is he's a man, he's a grown man, and you're watching something. You're watching the product of what a kid has been doing for 20 years of his life, right? In Australia, I'm pretty sure they come out of the womb and they are handed a rugby ball and they just immediately start kicking it around, right? And so when you've been kicking a ball, you know, compared to, you know, a little 4 or 5 year old who starts throwing a baseball around, right? And at first it's trash and it's going all over the place, but he gets that motion. He gets that movement pattern down. When you mechanically figure something out at an early age, your power development and how hard you can do that and still have correct form and still do it with correct biomechanical pattern, it becomes much easier. So you're watching Torrey Taylor just do something he's done for 20 years, And Tori thinks, well, fuck, I'm not doing anything special. But when you put it in the context of punting inside of American college football, it's like, dude, these are better numbers than everybody in the country. I mean, that's just is, it just is what it is. Talked about it last night on the radio show. Tory Taylor is giving our defense, not that they need it. He's giving our defense 3, 4, 5 first downs worth of production, right? That the Iowa State or the opponent has added on to their offensive.
I want to know how much better Tory's average field position start is than everybody else in the country.
Because yeah, we'll have to look.
When he's got a plus 50 punt,
yeah,
I have all the confidence in the world that he's going to do better than 10 and in
every
single time.
It's wild. It's wild. And let's just stay there for a second before we get to the awards winners results from week 2. Which again, Kevin's not even here. We're going to fucking change the segment name after this. Charlie Jones on the return game. We talk about Tory Taylor giving Iowa State more yardage, 40, 50, 60 more yards to have to deal with as an offense throughout the game. Well, Charlie Jones is then getting us that back on the other side of things. Charlie Jones, 53 yards on 4 returns yesterday. Think about this, folks. This is how you put that into perspective. Let's say he fair caught all those balls, right? Take away 53 yards. That's now 50.
How many rush yards did Tyler Goodson have yesterday? Let's just put it in perspective that way.
Let me pull that up. Tyler Goodson, 55
because
rushing
yards. A lot
yards.
Of times, aside from this podcast, we understand that special teams can go completely unnoticed throughout a game. But if Charlie Jones had equal to as many return yards as Tyler Goodson had production in the entire game, that just shows you how important that aspect of the game can be to a team. Because basically what Charlie did was just double Tyler Goodson's production for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, exactly right. Exactly right. And I don't know. Without describing it like this and actually breaking that down, I don't think fans think about that. I mean, Charlie Jones, 53 yards on 4 returns. Tyler Goodson, 55 yards on 21 carries. And yes, our run game is leaving a little bit to be desired, right? Granted,
our offensive line was by far the weakest point in our entire football team yesterday.
Through 2 weeks, yeah.
For us, that is completely unacceptable for a Hawkeye program. And I have a lot of faith in those guys that they're going to get it figured out.
Yeah.
I know they're playing with a lot of young guys and different permutations of lines, but we need to shore that up as quickly as possible and get some cohesion in that group, because this team can do some insane damage in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. If we have an offensive line that we could rely on, similar to the one that we had in 2015.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in a second, too, the potential of this team now after 2 weeks. Just to finish that up, though, Charlie Jones now gets 53 yards. A first down last time I checked was 10 yards. He just gave Petras and the offense, Goodson and the offense, 5 first downs over the course of that game. And when you are – first downs are not easy to come by all the time. And Iowa State's got a good defense, right? Indiana has a good defense. I think that's one thing that we may forget about as we go through the next 2-3 weeks of the season, is we just played maybe 2 of the better defenses that we'll play all season, which is attributing to maybe some of those offensive struggles.
Hey, this podcast called the Hawks over 8.5 early.
The Hawks over 8.5. Oh, wins. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's almost a mortal lock at this point. We have 10 games left on the schedule and we need to win 7 of those games.
And one of them is against the Sisters of the Poor.
Well, you're talking about Nebraska?
Oh, okay. Well, I actually should have mentioned 2 of those are against Sisters of the Poor, because I was talking about next week.
No, that's I know.
But yes, that was a great bomb by you.
You know, in Nebraska, actually, they had a good day yesterday. Kind of. They beat Buffalo, who, I mean, they covered. So, we'll, you know, call it a win for them. Let's go back to the awards winners.
Results from week two. Drake dipped his toe into the NFL, which we will be doing more of. Started early Thursday night. Goes 1-for-2 in that.
Let me tell you what. Yeah. I never thought Dak Prescott would be able to come out and have a game like he played against the Bucs defense after that injury. Dude, big shout out to Dak Prescott. I should have never doubted him as much as I did.
I'm kind of at this point after one game, you're thinking, fuck, I should have drafted him in my draft. Like, fantasy's about to start. We're doing this at 10:15 on Sunday morning. And right after this podcast, I'm going to check the fantasy and make sure the lineup looks nice. And I'm kind of wishing that Dak was part of my team moving forward. Tampa Bay, Drake had -7. I put -7.5 on the graphic. Neither mattered because of what Dak was able to do. And the Cowboys, you know, were able to make that a game. Tom Brady over 2.5 passing touchdowns felt like a steal.
I'm a big player prop guy. If you guys are interested in player props, I'm definitely going to be looking at those a lot for the NFL season. Last year when I was in Iowa for a little extended period of time, I played a lot of player props with my buddies, did reasonably well with those. I was like 65 or 70% on player props. So definitely going to be looking at those because they, for some reason, like they'll leave an RB1 on a heavy rush team with like a 54 yard over under.
Yeah.
And they just continuously leave just like slam dunk props. So
I don't
for those.
Yeah. And I have to check this. I don't know this for sure, but it seems like those prop bets, they don't quite have as much research behind them when they set those lines. I don't know. Drake, your third pick for the day was and the only one between Kevin, me and you to really step up and have the balls to do it. The Iowa money line. And
When you're the older brother, think about this, man. If you were to go, your younger brother's name is Zach, correct?
Yes.
I know there's Austin, but Zach's the one that's playing, right?
Yep.
So Zach is in the Iowa strength conditioning program. He's doing what you've done in your past. And he's probably a little bit bigger than you are right now.
Yeah.
Are you ever going to let your younger brother get the one up on you? Ever?
No,
it's not going to happen. If your younger brother tried you right now, you'd stuff him headfirst in a trash can and remind him that he ain't shit to you. And he's just been your little bitch for his whole entire life. You are the big dog in the family, period. Right?
Yeah. That's how the relationship.
Of course, I'm not going to think that just because the media and the talking heads and the fans think that Iowa State is sweet. You think that's going to scare the big brother away from a fist fight? Get the fuck out of here. Hawks money line.
They have a confidence about them that I don't know if you see this, Drake, but I just from some of the stuff they've said.
By the way, you've been missing the cha-ching a lot. We've had about 6 cha-chings on this episode and you've hit 0.
I can't just imagine it in your head for those who are waiting for the cha-ching. It's Sunday morning and I got a lot on the plate here and just the cha-ching's there. Here, there's a cha-ching for you. Iowa money line, and that's a nice little hit. What were they? +168, I think Bo said in the chat.
Think about that. They think that Iowa State's beating us 1.7 times to our one. That's basically like they're gonna beat us 2 out of every 3 times.
I think they after the result of that game, I think they'd probably the line would be a little bit different. But Drake goes 2-for-3, better than the first week. So Kevin's bets for the week were Iowa State under 46. Thank you to the kicker at the end for keeping the under in play. That hits. Iowa +4.5 hits, and Penn State -22.5. Let me confirm that, but I'm pretty sure they smoked. Yes, they won by 31 points. So Kevin goes 3-0. I had Georgia -24. I think they might have doubled that. They murdered UAB. That hits. I also had the Iowa State under. That hits. And Wisconsin -26. They won by 27. So that hits. The walk-ons.
So we went 8-1 this week.
The walk-ons
go. We missed was because Dak Prescott came out and played like a Pro Bowler in his first game back from a horrific injury.
The walk-ons go 8-1 as a huge bounce back week to the week 1-1-7-1
record. That feels good because week one is all a fluke, dude. Week one, teams come out and they do things that nobody's seen for 8 or 9 months, right? You haven't seen this team play. You don't know what they're made out of. A lot of fluky stuff happens week one. From here on out, we should have more and more information to base our decisions off of to hopefully continue to stay well above 500.
Yeah, ideally throughout a football season, if you're sticking in one sport, you would become more informed. Bets would be a little bit easier to place. The lines will, the actual lines will probably get better and better as well, because now the line setters, they have, the books, they have more information to go off of as well too. But that's a huge week for us. I know Kevin's smiling in Vegas right now, except for the fact that he had a parlay. Miami fucked his parlay and he would have turned 100 into 2100, but he's smiling because the walk-ons went 8-1 and he's happy. So that was that. Now, if I told you that Petrus was going to go 11 of 21 for 106 yards and one touchdown, and our rushing attack was going to amass 67 yards total. Oh, no, 39 yards total, because Petrus ended up taking minus 23 yards in sacks. So we had 39 rushing yards and 106 passing yards.
And yes, Hawk fans, we are equally as frustrated and concerned with Spencer's lack of getting the ball out on important third and longs to launch them into the stands and allow us to have good field goal range. I was also cursing at my television. So understand that that is something that he will for sure be getting a little bit of a lecture about within the walls of the building, and he will get that straightened out and start to really understand how important those ghost yards are at the end of drives.
I have to imagine it's going to be the number one thing he takes from this game, as far as critique and something to improve on, is he has to, again, hidden yardage, right? Well, minus 23 yards, that's almost 2.5 first downs that he's losing by not throwing the ball away on a third down. I'm not a quarterback, never was a quarterback. And I know it's just not that easy. You got to find a spot to throw it away to, make sure a receiver's in the area, make sure that you're in a position that you're not going to get smoked by a defender. You can't just, a throwaway isn't just like a throwaway play in your mind. You still have to stay locked in and make a good throw out of bounds so that nothing funky happens. Petrus has to do it. It knocked us out of field goal range once, and we had to rely on Torrey to save us and pin them deep. It knocked us back into a 51-yard field goal the second time, I think the next possession. And luckily, the new big dick in town,
Caleb Shudak, the 5'1" kicker, the 29-year-old 5'1" kicker, has an atomic bomb for a right foot.
I don't know how he does it, man. He's a small in stature. I mean, you see that guy walking downtown Iowa City and you don't know who he is. You might think that like a middle schooler is walking around. Like, why is this Iowa City middle school kid walking around downtown IC? But the kid can kick a ball, Hawkeye Nation. He can smoke it. I don't know if he's had a kickoff yet that wasn't a touchback. And 51 yards, absolutely piped it. Okay. It couldn't have been prettier. And he saved us on that one. It was a big field goal. I'm pretty sure that one put us up 10 at that point, or maybe it was 17. Huge kick. So Petrus will fix that. But Petrus did some really good things yesterday, Drake. And I think the two throws that I think really show that Petrus has it all. If he wants to have it all, it's just how often can he bring it out? How much of a rhythm can this offense truly find to get Petrus to play like this more often? Was the two throws to the tight ends. One of them was a 17-yard high ball to Luke Lachey right in the gap, who's also a young tight end. Love to see him getting involved. The other one, the throw of the, well, There was a third one as well. The Charlie Jones touchdown, fucking elite play by both of those men. Charlie Jones, you are a dog. And Spencer Petras, to step up and have the balls to throw into that coverage for a tutter, you are a dog. I don't care what the couch coordinators say at home. Cheeto fingers don't know how hard it is to make that throw and catch. And two, the throw that he made to Laporta with a guy coming for his ribs. He stood in there like C.J. Beathard. C.J. Beathard was the GOAT of this, to stay in there and take a hit. And you know, he suffered from it because C.J. was often banged up. But Spencer stood in there, took that hit, and delivered an absolute strike to Laporta in a big part of the game. So he's got it. You know, he's got those throws in him. I think you see, if you don't see less happy feet in Spencer, then you're just looking for it too hard, because the happy feet isn't so much there. And part of his uncomfortability that remains is really from that offensive line. Drake mentioned it.
I would have been not trusting the pocket either, because there's a couple throws where he could have just gotten rid of the ball to the sideline within the pocket, but he was trying to run, and I would have been trying to run too, because in all reality, our offensive line got badly exposed yesterday.
Parts of it did. Yeah. And this isn't, I hesitate to almost even like say names because of how much respect I have for those guys. And I know that they are giving a great effort and they're doing the best that they can, and they're trying to come along and learn and progress, and it's early and they're young. But the reality of it is, you still get your performance review at the end of the month, right? Like you still got to watch tape, and it will make you better. And Justin Britt right now on the offensive line at right guard, he got bullied yesterday by a bigger, better defensive line, or multiple of their bigger, better defensive linemen. And that is okay. That is okay. Britt has the body type, and I think the potential to come along and be an Iowa great offensive lineman. And the dude's probably an incredible dude, but he got bullied a little bit. He got pushed back into the running lanes multiple times. He got, there were several times where you're looking at Tyler Goodson and he starts to like make these weird cuts. Like he comes back, he's just like trying to get back to the line of scrimmage. And you're like, Goodson, what are you doing, dude? And I'll tell you what he's doing is he can see the line getting blown up before he even takes the handoff. And he's just trying to predict and find a gap, right? Because the one that's supposed to be there, it isn't there. So Goodson hasn't gotten any worse. He isn't I've had several people yesterday ask if he's being hesitant. He's not being hesitant. He's calculated. If you guys remember Le'Veon Bell in his prime with the Steelers, how he would just kind of sit there and wait. Goodson has a little bit of that to him if he needs to, but what's calculated looks hesitant when there's nowhere to go. And there was several times where there was nowhere to go because they had their big ass nose tackle in the way. And that's something that's going to get better. And not only is it going to get better because Britt will improve, but it's because Shot is out. We don't have Shooter in. And that's Drake's guy. Shooter is our guy. I mean, walk on greasy
master. I have confirmation from Shooter Shoots that the foot is coming along very nicely, and he expects without any further setbacks to be able to play next week. So, boys, that gate just got a little more reinforced.
Yeah, it did. And I think adding him back into the equation, call it 1 + 4. I think it equals more than 5, right? In this sense, sort of the whole is better than the sum of its parts, right? He's going to add back in that confidence. He's the senior leader of that offensive line group. They're young. Even Linderbaum is just a junior, I'm pretty sure. And so there's something that just feels better when you've got your guy, your anchor, your Drake said, I'm the glue guy of this podcast. I don't know if that's true or not. Shooter is the glue guy of that offensive line. And those guys are going to feel better knowing he's next to them on that wall protecting Spencer and Goodson. So I expect to see a dramatic improvement in the offensive line play over the next 2 weeks, not only because of opponent, but because of him coming back, assuming that he does. And it's good to hear that his foot is healthy. Offensively, you know, there's a lack of a vertical passing attack. Tracy has been sort of non-existent. And he's, you know, our guy this year. He's supposed to be our receiver. Charlie Jones has really been the one who has stood out so far. And then you have Laporta and Lachey. They're kind of, they are our vertical passing attack. We don't have Chris Olave or the, what's his face? The other kid from Ohio State. We don't have that guy to just Randy Moss somebody, take the top off and just run, you know, a 50-yard post route. Tracy, I think, can be that guy. He hasn't been yet, and we haven't used him in that way. Our passing attack is going to be a little bit more pick you apart than it is just, you know, blow you out of the water. And I think that's okay. I think that's fine.
I think we're doing ourselves disservice if we try and create a down-the-field passing game that isn't based around play action.
Because I agree.
We just don't have the team makeup to sit back and throw it like we're Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because play action works really, really well when you have a good running game. And I expect us to have a good running game in the latter part of this season for sure. And that is how I believe our passing game needs to be structured.
Yeah. And, you know, some fans, you're going to sit back and just stew over that, I guess, because you want us to look. Here's the thing is, like, as a fan, I think it's best to understand who you're a fan of and what that team is about, and not hope that your favorite team looks like another team, right? They have a completely different makeup of completely different guys with completely different skill sets. We want our guys to go be great at whatever they're the best at. And that's why our coaches, they know what that is. And that's going to end up as our product, right? But if we go try and be Texas A&M or Ole Miss or Texas Tech, we're going to look worse. We don't have those guys. We're not that guy, pal. We're not that guy. Okay. Real quickly, I want to go back to before the game. While we were watching game day, Drake, Kutcher was absolutely blasted. guest picker, nothing went right for Cyclones yesterday. The guest picker was not a hometown person who was going to pick their guy. Lee Corso, who I'm not sure how much he still has upstairs, but he didn't pick the Cyclones. The headgear wasn't Cyclone.
Lee Corso has been completely senile since 2017.
It feels like it, but he picks the Hawks. Kutcher rolls up in a Hawkeye combine to the game day set. I mean, and then of course what we did to them with the game. But yeah, Kutcher was pretty funny. That was hilarious. While we were doing that, or right after we got off of that, we watched, you know, we kind of went back and forth about the Ohio State, Oregon game. And so, you know,
plain and simple, Ohio State is not the best team in the Big Ten.
No.
Ohio State's defense is the most lackluster defense I've seen fielded by Ohio State in as long as I've been a football fan. I've never seen them roll out a more mediocre group of guys. Like, I can go play linebacker better than Eichenberg right now.
So, this is interesting, right? Because Ohio State usually has the Big Ten by the balls, and they're the team, right? Yesterday is their first loss in the regular season since Urban Meyer, you know, rode off into the sunset. Well, we retired him, basically. They've given up 31 to Minnesota and now 35 to Oregon. Not slough off teams, right? Oregon's going to be a top 10 team after yesterday. And I think Minnesota with Ibrahim was potentially, you know, a top 30, top 25 team if things went the right way. But their defense they're a liability. They're soft in coverage. They don't have the aggressiveness that it seems that the Ohio State, especially the DBs have had in the past. You know, I think about when we played them and Rastetter tried to fake that punt, and that number three, I don't know what his name was, but that number three absolutely hawked him down in what seemed like half a second. They don't have those guys that are ball hawking, to be honest, like the Iowa defense does. Iowa's defense is at this time in week two, going into week three, miles ahead of where Ohio State's defense is. Now, you could also argue that Ohio State's offense looks a lot better than the Iowa offense does at this point. But I think that the Big Ten is balanced this year. Michigan just had a pretty good win last night over Washington. Wisconsin and Penn State, they obviously had a great game last week, and then both of them looked great yesterday. Ohio State's going to be a contender, and then you have Iowa. I think the top five teams of the conference right now are really, really balanced, and I think this thing could go to anybody. And Penn State's licking their chops, right? Because I think they see an open door. I'm not going to get too far ahead, because that's not what this podcast does, and it's not what Drake and I were built to do as players. But if Iowa can take this, like Kevin said last week, as 12 one-game seasons, and they can really do the damn thing, go win the West, the opportunity in Indianapolis for whoever's there, it's not just Ohio State's taking the Big Ten this year. And that's really exciting for the league, because it's nice to have competition. And Iowa is potentially, for those that are going to do this, they are the front runner of the entire Big Ten right now. We talked about it on the podcast last week in the preview. Iowa, your Iowa Hawkeyes, the black and gold out of Iowa City, led by Jack Campbell. By the way, what a fucking touchdown for him. I don't even care.
You owe more than me today.
What?
You owe more than me today.
Yeah, I do. And Jacobs was the one who caused that incredible defensive play. They have the best resume in the entire country right now. In the entire country.
And the Hawkeye defense is now, is it 24 or 25 games straight holding Big Ten? Well, I guess all opponents, but we play in the Big Ten, and last year we played a completely Big Ten schedule. So yeah, primarily Big Ten opponents to under 17 points a game.
No, 24 points a game. It's 23, okay. 23 games in a row holding opponents under 24 points. It's still absurd.
Okay, I thought it was, what is there an average of 17 points? Is that like
probably? Yeah, probably. Okay. Which is exactly what Iowa State ended up with yesterday. Absurd stat.
That's a Big Ten champion defense. Like, if you were to ask the Big Ten commissioner who he would want to be his conference's champion, I would expect that he would say somebody who plays salty, salty defense, because that's something that the Big Ten has always prided themselves on.
Yeah. Salty ass defense. Let's talk about that defense, but in a set, we're going to quickly go to our Patreons, because the Army is growing at an alarming rate. And what we haven't even discussed, Drake, is the suits and the real big win over the weekend that happened Friday. And part of that was carried out by the Walk-On Army. We've got a few new people: Brad S, Bruce C, JJ, Aaron S, Sarah H, and Kevin H. Six.
And here's the reason that I didn't even bring it up. This was chosen negligibility on my part, negligence. And I did this solely because I want these people who tried us to understand just how little they mean to us or our entire operation. Yes, we did beat them. We beat them handily, and we beat them because the Walk-On Army takes no bullshit, and you guys understand exactly what our mission and our message is. And for that, we are very, very, very grateful. Yeah. But to the suits, you idiots, don't come at the king if you're going to miss.
Yeah. Well, just, we're going to leave it at that. Have your information right if you're going to send cease and desists, and just let's just make sure that communication is good, right? And there was a little bit of miscommunication, not on our end,
but on the suits end. And so we got that figured out. Tech guy made a phone call or two, reached out, cleared some things up, and all is well. There will be Hawks by a Million flags, Hawks by a Million t-shirts, koozies. Oh my goodness. Could it be Kevin Ward joining from Las Vegas in his
in the flesh?
Oh my goodness, Kevin. Hey. How you feeling, bud?
Six straight. Matt Campbell can't hold KS. Fucking got trapped. Hawks by a Millie. Ward's winners 3 for 3. I'm out.
Oh my God. He pops it, he drops it, and he leaves, bro.
Hey, that's the Kevin Ward candid that we would expect out of some slapdick who goes to damn Encore Beach Club until 3 a.m. on the West Coast last night. Can't show up to the podcast. I mean, that's just the absolute slapdickness we expect out of him.
At this point, if you're listening to this podcast and it's at least a day later when I release the YouTube version, please, please, please pause the podcast on the audio, go to the video, and watch Kevin's 15-second appearance right there. It's worth paying for. That was priceless. But before he interrupted us, HBAM lives. You guys are going to still be able to buy HBAM merch, HBAM flags. Again, for those, we're getting a ton of requests. We've got probably a ton of new listeners because we're I don't want to brag, and it's probably not even on us. It's probably iHeart that's doing this for us, but our numbers have skyrocketed over the past couple of weeks. So we probably have a lot of new ears. Thank you guys so much for being here. If you're new listeners, I hope that you don't mind the chip choppiness of this. We don't have a lot of structure. This is how we do things. We're unfiltered, we're uncut, but we do it from the heart, baby, because heart don't have stars. And that's what you're going to get with the walk-ons. Hawks by a Millie, and you're going to be able to buy that shit for as long as you want, because we got the honeypot under control. And thank you to those Patreon members that I mentioned that signed up over the weekend. Absolutely fantastic. All that money is going to the Children's Hospital. Hopefully the suits get that understood at some point. And all the Hawks by a Million merch and flags, all that profit is basically going there as well. So we appreciate everything. Let's see. What else do I have left? I mean, there's not much more to say, Drake. We go into, you know, we've had two exciting weeks, a Big Ten win that started us off on the right foot in conference play. We take care of little brother 2 hours down the road. And Drake, you said it. You said it. And I was going to play the clip, but we don't need to. It's what they do. They lose to us. And so really, they did their job this weekend. Iowa State did what they, you know, they came through. For the fans at home,
there's a big difference between we're going there to win our trophy and we hope we can get the trophy back this year.
Right.
There's a big, big difference in that mindset. And that's how we play versus how they play.
And this defense, we haven't talked a lot about the defense, but this defense, they play with a dog mentality. And I see it in Hankins. I see it in Kerner. I see it in the linebackers and even they're feeding the D line. The D line is playing better because of how confident the back seven is. Riley Moss, Merriweather, Dane Belton. Oh my goodness. Shout out Dane Belton's dad, by the way. They listen to the podcast. Dane, evidently, you're my guy, dude. You're my fucking guy. And there's another one for the kids. Drake, they are playing where one guy makes a play and like it raises the juice level of everybody else. And then they're like, who's next? All right. It's my turn to make a play.
It's that Phil Parker special, baby. What the Hawks are the leaders in the nation every single year in takeaways. And what are we doing again? were averaging 2.5 or 3 interceptions per game and a fumble recovery. I mean, you cannot beat the Hawks if you're going to turn the ball over against us 4 times. There is no way to beat our team with a good running game, a very, very good punter, and a salty dog defense if you're going to turn the ball over 4 times. You might as well not show up on Saturday in uniform. Oh, remember when I said they were dressing like us because they want to be us, but in all reality, they're just dressing in black because they're going to their own funeral?
I remember that.
Just don't. Don't show up in uniform if you're going to go put that kind of product out on the field. Just forfeit.
Iowa State fans were really, really bent up about this one. It was there. I mean, some of these people are calling for offensive coordinator to be fired, Purdy to be benched, which he was benched, by the way. We didn't even talk about it, but they benched Purdy. I mean, they benched their golden goat, right? I want to say one thing about the Iowa State-Iowa matchup.
Hey, there's 12 games on the schedule, right? And in 11 of those games, Iowa State really thought that they had the Heisman winner catching the snap for them, and it took Phil Parker all of 3 quarters to prove that he's nothing but a bench warmer.
What's wild, dude, is Penix was like a long shot Heisman too, and they benched him last week in the 4th quarter. We've played 2 top 20 teams. This has never happened. I challenge a walk-on listener to go and find this stat, because I would almost guarantee it would be hard to find too, because it's not like it's a stat in the book. Go find another team that's opened their schedule with 2 top 20 teams, and by the end of both games had their hype preseason stud quarterback benched in the 4th quarter, both games. It's never happened. It's never happened. I don't know. Phil Parker is... I mean, pay him $10, $20, $400 million, dude. I don't even care. I don't even care. He deserves it. Last thing about the Iowa-Iowa State matchup. Iowa, let's assume that Lindy and T. Good go to the league. I hope T. Good plays that year, plays that good this year, and I think he will. These first two, you know, we're still finding our footing. I think Linderbaum, he's already had 2 amazing games. Let's assume we lose those 2 next year. We will return 16 starters. Iowa State will lose 18 starters. So if Iowa State has high hopes for next year in this rivalry, that's a really bad place to start. We're returning essentially as many as they're losing. And it's the majority on both sides. So it's looking like another party in Iowa City next year for the old Cy Hawk trophy. Might as well just chalk it up. Kerner left us with this one. He said, keep the hype. We'll take the trophy. Hawkeye State.
Oh, dude, Jack Kerner's been turning me up for years. Yeah. Boys. That kid is just one of the – I mean, if you can make somebody in a lab that is built for the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast – it's Jack Kerner.
Yeah.
And that guy, he turns me up.
Yeah. He's, again, one of those senior leaders that just makes that defense feel confident about who's standing next to him. When you got a warrior who you know is lethal standing next to you, it makes you even more lethal. And that's what you're seeing with this Hawkeye defense. We now go into...
We have 5 defensive backs who would start on any team in the country.
Any team. And we got to see a lot of Justin Jacobs yesterday. Obviously, he had the huge play where he causes the fumble on Breece. But that man,
That's a kid with almost no experience. He's out there damn near a virgin.
And he's playing good football. Good football. Kevin was a little hesitant to say it, and I didn't watch all of the plays, so I'm sure there were some spots where he's a lot of details
where it comes to playing linebacker and filling the proper gaps, right, and making sure you're being sound in every aspect of the game, where the kid may just not have the full grasp yet, because playing linebacker in a defense where you have a lot of responsibility is tough.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, the kid comes out in his first real action ever and just makes big plays. That is something huge for us to like be looking forward to.
And what he provides us is a 6'3", 6'4", 245-pound body to run with a team that has supposedly All-American tight ends in that Kohler and Allen kid, right? He provides us the ability between him and Dane. We have the ability to throw them in there, and we can guard anybody. We can guard anybody. He's athletic as hell, and he just gives us so much versatility. And like you said, a lot of stuff to work on. He hasn't had a lot of experience, but yesterday's a great start. You start getting your feet a little bit more wet on that defensive side of the ball. You get to play with studs like we have. He's going to quickly become experienced and be a dude for us the next couple of years.
I also want it very well known that me and Brian Ferentz now have beef, because it's pretty clear that Brian likes Monty more than he ever liked me. Mm-hmm. And, Brian, we need to have a conversation.
And my response to that,
to live every single fullback's dream at the 5-yard line, line up as the H back,
yep,
and take an inside hand. Brian, Brian,
dude, they're not even hiding
the last
it.
Play of the game away from me in 2017. And now you're spitting in my face, handing Monty the ball off from the eye from shotgun.
Not even hiding it. 5-yard line.
I mean,
they're just lining.
I'm disrespected.
They're just lining him up as the running back and saying, hey, this guy can do it too, right? We've got Tyler Goodson, but also we've got this blonde stallion with a neck roll, and we're just going to hand it to him and see what happens.
Blonde instead of Big Brown. You know, Big Brown, the stallion that won the Triple Crown?
Yeah.
We'll call him Big Blonde.
Monty's Big Blonde. Monty Big Blonde Potterbaum. The best Iowa fullback in potentially 2 decades. You know?
And on that note, fellas, I am going to check out.
Yeah, that's it. We will we'll talk to you guys next week. We have a non-conference, the rest of our non-conference schedule as we move into week 3 and 4. Kent State next week, Colorado State the following week. Both of those will be back in Kinnick. I think I will be attending both of those games, and the 600 AM WMT Cedar Rapids area. I guess they get it in Dubuque, and I'm not sure where you get it, but you can get it anywhere on the iHeart app. The post game show, we'll be doing that live from Mulligan's in Cedar Rapids for home games for the rest of the season. So thank you for everyone who tuned in and participated in that and continues to ask questions and make that show great. This was the Iowa State recap. A good one, just a great weekend, a great day to be an Iowan, but even more so an Iowa Hawkeye. 2-0 when most people were going to be happy with 1-1, and heading into a couple games where we can really, really sharpen some things up and gain some momentum in the places that we need to. So as you guys know, 248, Hawks by a milli. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.